Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Well, hello, everybody. We are so glad that you joined us today, and we are on a day that is a full sentence, March 4th. It's also my granddaughter's birthday, but think about that, March 4th. What are you going to march 4th into this year? And I hope that you keep that in mind as you go throughout the day. You hear the laughter of Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron. We're going to be taking your calls for the next 2 hours, 1-800-229-3000. We are so grateful to be able to offer you help. And if you're listening somewhere that you're thinking, I am really just dealing with some anxiety and uncertainty, we can help you get you on your way. You know, one of the greatest parts about the opening is we get to know more about our co-hosts. And today, we're going to spend a little time with Alice and just getting a little bit of information. You know, one of the more intriguing things about Alice that you may not know is she is bilingual. And guess what language it is? Maybe you could just say hello in the other language.
Hola.
Alice. There you go. So Alice speaks Spanish. Alice, how did that come to be, and how have you used it in your career?
Well, I started taking Latin in high school and then switched over to Spanish and just became obsessed with the language, the culture, started to meet Spanish-speaking people in our town, and I just enjoyed the interaction so much that I wanted to learn more. I ended up going to a small town in the mountains of Mexico with a friend I played with on a soccer team, and I lived there for a couple of months. Worked in a grade school and a meat shop, a butcher shop, in order to practice my Spanish and learn. And then after that, I just kept getting jobs that required Spanish so that I had to practice it and continue to speak it. So I've loved immersing in the language and the culture.
Well, I know one of those jobs you've actually done in the clinical world, working in a counseling situation mm-hmm. where it was bilingual. Can mm-hmm. you talk more about that?
We had the honor of working with immigrants who had moved to the United States and all the stories of war that they, many of them, had escaped to be able to come here. There was an El Salvadorian community in particular with which we worked, and they were strong. It's actually founded by, in the name of a bishop, strong Christian community. And so being able to serve there for several years was a highlight in my career so far.
It's really amazing. I know we get requests a lot for some of our materials to be in Spanish because we do have such a great number of people who are bilingual. And we just made the decision we're going to stock the Life Recovery Bible in Spanish. I don't even know how to say that in Spanish. Alice, what does it sound like in Spanish? What do you say?
Biblia Renacer. Y quiero brevemente explicar por qué nos da tanto gusto poder darles ese Biblia Renacer. Dos preguntas que más me importan son cómo puedo proteger a mi familia, a mis hijos, a mi matrimonio. Y hemos encontrado que leyendo la Biblia al menos 4 veces a la semana da una protección a la familia. Y vemos que va bajando problemas en familias que leen la Biblia al menos 4 veces a la semana. Así que nos da tanto gusto poder ofrecer esa Biblia a ustedes. One of the things that more protects families, marriages, and parents is reading the Bible. And at least 4 times a week, we see a strengthening, a protection of families against divorce, infidelity, addiction. So I'm explaining that we're so excited to be able to offer Biblia Renacer because in reading it, it will protect your family.
I love that, Alice. It's beautiful. And, you know, maybe you or a loved one is in need of this Bible. You can get it. You have to be able to speak English in order to order it from our call center at this point, but you can order it online at our website, newlife.com. We know that the power of God's Word and the power of recovery combined together changes lives. We've been helping people do this for years. We want to continue into the future. We'll be back with your calls after this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Our next 2 weekend intensives are being held in a one-day online format, which means it's convenient for anyone who has a computer and can join us. We still have the main teaching sessions, and we will have our breakout groups with our counselors. And getting help is never easier than being able to connect that way. And we want you to join us. Our first one will be our emotional freedom intensive, and then we'll do an Every Man's Battle intensive in April. So if you're interested in that, give us a call. Well, not even if you're interested, maybe you need to take the step and make the registration happen. For you, it could make a difference in all of the rest of this year and the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. We want to help you. We're going to go to the calls, and we are going to start with Ella, who's calling us from Arlington, Virginia.
Hi, Ella, welcome to the show. How can we help you?
Thank you. Thank you. We're concerned about our granddaughter. She is a senior in high school, but for 2 years she can't get up in the morning. Of course, that means not for church, not for school. So as a result of this, she may not graduate. She comes from a lovely Christian family. Education is valued. We've tried everything, doctors, all kinds of doctors, sleep specialists, worked with the school, evening tutoring, everything. And it's not working. What is it? What is going on? Do you have some kind of an inner time clock or something? What is this, and what can we do? We're very discouraged.
Ella, with all these providers that your granddaughter has gone to, have there been any diagnoses that they've been able to identify?
No, they actually just seem to be working with the symptoms. One thing, the only thing that has made a little bit of difference is that they gave her something to sleep better so that when she actually goes to sleep, she does have a block of sleep, but even then, she might wake up in time, but then she just says, I can't get out of bed.
And so it's a fatigue and some sort of a sleep disorder. She's also not sleeping well. Not only does she not get up easily in the morning, does it matter to her to graduate from high school? Is she worried about it and wants help with this?
Good question. I think she really does. Now, she has an older sister, this might be part of it, an older sister, 3 years older, who is lovely, doing beautifully at school, and the same school, same classes, and so forth. But she really says she wants to. And then she'll say, for the next week, I will go to these classes. They've cut it down to one class at school and three with the tutor at night. And she'll say she says she can't do the homework for the night classes. And she can't, no, she says, yes, I'll go. I promise I'll go. And then she'll go to one class maybe, and then the next one she'll say she can't do it.
And one more question. Since this problem, at the time the problem began, was there a big change in her life, something difficult or traumatic she went through?
Good question. I don't see anything traumatic unless, you know, her sister's graduation from the same high school. They've got what you would call a lovely family that you'd never think this would happen to.
So, Ella,
it's a tough one.
This is a hard one. So, Ella, it sounds like you're saying, if I'm getting this correctly, that it's more of a biological problem than a will problem with your granddaughter.
I kind of feel that way. Now,
That it's more biological, that it's because
yes.
She can't sleep, she's so tired. It's not that she just doesn't want to go to school because she doesn't like school.
I think so, because she does she likes to learn.
Yeah, this I think it is a hard one, because when we have sleep problems, it really affects our entire functioning. Because when you have a lack of sleep and you have that fatigue, as Alice was mentioning, your brain, the part of the brain that we need to kind of think through problems and problem solve, it doesn't work very well. And so school is going to be hard. And then if you're not learning, then it's going to be difficult to then even do the homework. I think with what you're saying is that your granddaughter's parents have already done some work to try and explore where this is coming from with physicians. And I would say to continue to follow up doing that. One thing that you might want to consider is maybe changing schools, because maybe this school is not the right environment for her, even though her sister's doing well. There are some other schools out there, like charter schools, that can actually give you all of the work that is due for the entire week up front. And then kids can learn via doing videos, or they can do it self-paced at their own time rather than having to show up to a particular time to a particular class and then only being able to get the information that way. So sometimes our kids are different, and even though they come from the same family, we got to think about what is this person's particular need and cater toward that.
Yes. Now, I have wondered if it is possibly hereditary, because we have two others in the family who always have, they're night people, severely night people, but it's not like this, it's not as serious as this. It's just like you can't get along with them for an hour or two in the morning. I don't know if that would be, if there's something like that, I can't figure this out.
I'm sure it's helpful to bring that to the attention of the granddaughter, as she might have a lot of shame that she can't handle school, especially like her sister can. So to tell her stories of, yeah, these two other people in the family, this is how it's gone for them, this is what they've struggled with, it normalizes it that she's not the problem and she's not the only one struggling. So I hope you'll talk with her about those two other people. And I'm going to add on three other suggestions. I'm sure you've heard before, our friend of the program, Dr. Daniel Amen, has a brain clinic, and he does brain scans. And there's a particular part of the brain, I think it's the reticular activating system, and it's what helps us to wake up in the morning. It's what helps us to regulate our sleep and wake cycle. And if there's damage to that, it can make it incredibly difficult, sometimes impossible to regulate. But there's a lot of help for it, and there are ways to adjust the brain health to make up for parts of the brain that are underperforming. So if your family has not yet gotten a brain scan with Dr. Amen, he's got clinics all over the United States, I would have you check in with him about it. Even though there is not an obvious traumatic event, it's surprising what experiences a teen goes through can affect their mental health, their depression, and their ability to cope with life. So I'd add on family therapy, where both the parents are involved, in order to both try to draw out what your granddaughter's going through, and then have family strategy of how best to help her. And the last thing is just to consider the potential of an online school. As Mark was describing, the charter school and packet style schools, an online school might also be more of what your granddaughter needs. And we just always love when we have grandparents call in who are so concerned and willing to help and get involved to serve a grandchild. Thank you, Ella.
I love that, Alice. And I also think that the challenge of trying to be supportive while she's emerging into her own, because we all are different, and usually high school is when it starts showing up. We are going to send you a copy of Dr. Jill Hubbard's book, Secrets Young Women Keep, which could be helpful to her just in this journey. But also, we'll continue to pray for your granddaughter, Ellen. I agree with you, Alice, that it's great to be able to support our grandparents who are helping raise these next generation folks. We're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to talk with Nancy, who's calling us from Knoxville, Tennessee, listens on the app, and you can too. You can download your app wherever you get your apps on your smartphones. We would love to join you there. Hi, Nancy. How can we help you today?
Oh, hi there. Boy, I'm ready for some help.
Great.
I'm 67 years old, And my family lives in Los Angeles, including my dad, who's 90 and is doing well. And I'm not a city girl, so I typically go back to Los Angeles and then get really, really depressed, unhappy. And so I left Southern California, and I've been traveling since November 1st. I drove up to Northern California to visit family and friends, and now I've been in Florida, Tennessee, and I have no idea what to do.
What do you mean, Nancy? Like where you want to live or career or what?
No, where I want to live. I found a really good church in North Carolina, but I don't seem to be able, I don't seem to be very good at taking the steps to find. Well, I'm on Social Security, so the priorities are church, a home, and then I'll probably work part-time.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good question to ask. Mark, let's start with you. How would you help Nancy figure this out?
Nancy, did you just retire not too long ago?
Yes. Yes. I stopped working last year and started getting Social Security.
What was your job?
I was a senior care provider.
Okay. So, yeah, so sometimes when we go through, get into retirement and we stop working, it can seem a little bit like a mini crisis because it's a life transition. And when we go through life transitions, it completely shifts us out of what we've known for a long time. And it sounds like, because I don't hear you talking about a partner, that you're single.
I'm single.
Yeah. And so now you're just kind of considering like, well, who am I? What do I do here? Where do I go? And it sounds like too, you're saying that you've lived in Southern California in a city, but you're not really a city girl. So you're trying to figure out, where to be. I think what I would suggest for you here, Nancy, is, you know, of course, wherever you end up is going to be up to you. But look for somewhere that has community for you, somewhere that you can maybe put down roots and have support and even, you know, where you can add value into the community, too, as well as receive from others. But it sounds like, too, you know, it's okay to for this to be a time to explore and maybe even visit a few different places to find out which one feels like a good fit for you. But I think just kind of acknowledging and understanding the life transition that you're going through, I think can be helpful for you.
Okay. I have been doing that. I've been in visiting relatives in Florida, friends in Tennessee. I've connected with a few churches.
That's good.
So,
Nancy, it puts a smile on my face to hear this amazing freedom that you have, that you can decide anywhere you want to go. There's something glorious about that, being that free to decide. I also want you to check I want you to check on something in your heart. I understand you don't like LA, you don't like the city. And I wonder if there's any pain that you are trying to leave behind, pain you're trying to move away from. Is there just any brief headline answer you would give me for that?
Yes, my relationship with my dad has always been challenging.
I'm glad you're so aware of it, that you can come up with it quickly. And I want you to also consider a balance of both figuring out how your heart and soul need to deal with that relationship with your dad. It's still okay to move away, but be cautious about running away in order to avoid. I want to protect you from that.
I love that. And, you know, Nancy, I also think working with a life coach could be helpful in this next season. Can help you kind of clarify what your goals are, where you want to spend this next chapter, and enjoy it for all that it's worth. We want to live well and finish strong, as Dave says, and I think I'm going to send you a copy of that book. I think it's called Loving Well, Finishing Strong, and we'll be back taking your calls after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I wanted to let you know Life Recovery Today aired this morning on NRB TV. And if you missed it, you can go to liferecoverytoday.net and catch up on all those shows. Today is part two of a series examining how the story of the prodigal son relates to those in recovery. And Corey Busk is our featured guest that on those shows. And we're so grateful to be able to offer them. We're going to go back to the call.
Becky, speaking of that prodigal son, makes me think about Nancy. And mm-hmm. Mark and I wanted to share a thought or two we had off air.
Yeah, Alice and I were just kind of talking here at the break. And I just kind of had a thought for Nancy, too, is that many people would probably love to be in Nancy's situation mm-hmm. here. They're finally in retirement. They have the resources. They can travel in the world as their oyster. Yet Nancy's got this feeling of being lost with that freedom. And I wonder if in her history, she has not been allowed to have that freedom. And so now that she's been given the choice, she feels stuck and she doesn't know what to do.
And we take our unresolved issues with us wherever we go. So if we feel lost, stuck, depressed, mm-hmm. it's not a location change that will fix it long term. It's the heart work that we have mm-hmm. to do. And that will make the next place more attractive and more comfortable for us. But it takes the heart work.
Yeah, there's always something for us to do, no matter if we're, no matter what age we are, no matter what stage, is that we want to be able to inspect our lives and to, you know, reflect. And it requires other people. We talk about that all the time. It can't be in isolation. So I love that direction, and I hope that helps. We're going to go back to the calls. We're going to take them at 1-800-229-3000 for the next hour and a half. We're going to talk with Lucy, who's calling us from Washington, D.C., watches us on YouTube, and we're grateful for that. Lucy, how can we help you today?
Good morning. First, I'd like to say I miss Steve, but I'm glad to have y'all.
Yeah, we do, too.
We miss him, too, Lucy. He's, yeah.
Yeah, a little rest, right? Mm-hmm. A little sabbatical.
Yes.
Well, my question is, how do believers cope with all the atrocities in our world today?
Mm. That's a great question, Lucy. Alice, let's start.
Well, just to personalize it more first, Lucy, what is one of the atrocities that most impacts you?
The injustice of war and the cruelty to the weak.
And when you feel strong emotions about that, how do you manage your emotional reaction?
Not too well. I think I have a, you know, something touches a nerve about injustice in my past. So I just think it's terrible and wrong, and it should be wiped off the face of the earth. Mm-hmm.
Can you name that part of your past that it reminds you of?
Oh, sure. My dear dad, he was a great provider and stuff, but he kind of had to marry my mom because she was pregnant with me. And the home was very quiet, and yet my dad had a lot of rage. So things were done, you know, and there ended up being five of us girls and one boy. But it was a terrible rift, you know, in all our relationships mm-hmm. between me and my mom. Certainly my dad didn't, you know, relate too well to anybody, especially not to my mom. So much resentment and anger and even us siblings, oh, we used to fight like the dickens, mm-hmm. you know? You know, now since we've all grown up, we hardly talk to each other, and we've scattered, you know, to the four corners of the earth, kind of.
And Lucy, you and your siblings lived in at least some emotional wars and battles. Even if it was quiet, it deeply affected you, your heart, soul, your body. And so when you hear news today of outside wars, and you said you don't handle it well, what's just one of the most difficult things that you deal with, whether in your body or in your behavior, when the idea of war upsets you?
I guess I'm angry and I want to retaliate. Like I go online and I try to talk to Congress people about what they're doing and what they're not doing. And I try to support, like on Facebook, causes and people that are stepping up to try to get fairness.
Lucy, you take action to try to bring more justice into the world. And so we want to give you some thoughts about how to handle your personal reaction to it as well. But I'm proud of you that you take action to try to make a difference.
Oh, I go downtown and protest sometime. And I've
okay.
even been eliminated from Twitter because of some suggestions I've made.
Well, Lucy, you can hear the music. We'll come back and we'll talk with Mark about that. You know, it's a great question, though, is how does a Christian, how do we as believers deal with the things that are happening in the world? And we have so much exposure to them because of media. But we'll be back after this break and we'll talk about maybe some steps to reduce that anger, but increase the compassion. I love that you are an activist, Lucy. You know, I think we were kind of surprised at that, weren't we, uh-huh. Alice? But I love that, that you are caring. And, you know, you're not alone in that. There's a lot of people that have a heart for what's going on in other places and even in our own country that we're struggling with. We'll be right back after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You just heard that commercial talking about coaches. You know, we have coaches and counselors across the country that can help you, and we can get you connected to somebody in your area that deals with the things that you are concerned about. And you can call us, and we'll get you connected there. We were talking with Lucy before the break, who is concerned with the things that are going on in the world. But Alice, you had your insight into the fact that this didn't come from just what was happening in front of us in the media, but it came from back in her childhood, just being raised in a home where there's a lot of upset. And, you know, that does trigger us. You know, we get affected by these things. There is a lot of things going on in the world that causes us pain. And we just wonder, as a believer, what are we supposed to do? Mark, what would you like to offer Lucy in this?
Yeah, Lucy, I love that you have action orientation. Were you allowed to have action orientation when you were a kid? Were you allowed to be angry? Were you allowed to retaliate when your dad was big and loud?
No way.
Yeah, I hear you laughing here. And that was my suspicion, is that you couldn't do that as a kid. And when that happens, we have this sense of powerlessness that we grow up with. But my sense is that probably when you were in private and alone, you had that anger inside you and you wanted to stand up to your dad. But you couldn't. And it also sounded like here, too, when you talked about your mom or your dad feeling like he had an obligation to marry your mom because she was pregnant with you. So it sounds like you were the oldest of your siblings. And I wonder if you feel a sense of responsibility then for the family having to come together and, you know, your siblings then consequently being born into the family. Is that right?
I guess maybe.
Yeah.
I knew I could feel the resentment from my dad like every day. Mm-hmm. You know, that I was the cause of all this misery that he has.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry that you felt that. And sometimes when you grow up as the oldest in the family, you feel like you're the next one in line after the parent to be able to have to stand up to the person who's very dysregulated. And so I think that's a good insight here that you've got, is that your dad blamed you for the situation that he was in, and you're not responsible for him getting your mother pregnant. And it sounds like he felt stuck, and then he was big and he was angry, and then you had no outlet for that anger. And now in adulthood, you feel that sense of responsibility, because that sense of responsibility was unfairly assigned to you as a kid. And now you want to use the power that you didn't have when you see injustice in the world.
You know, Lucy, I wonder if you know what your dad's story is, besides this part of it. I remember Steve telling a story many times about someone who was just disconnected from their mother because he thought that she had abandoned him. And then he did some research and figured out that when his mother placed him for adoption, it was actually the safest thing because she was struggling with something that it would have been a threat to his life. Now, I'm not saying that that's what is going on with your dad, but I think that it's so important to just, you know, get the story behind the story. But I also am curious if you've done any recovery work in your own path. And Alice, maybe that was the direction you were thinking of going, but I'm curious, Lucy, have you ever done any counseling or coaching, just trying to understand how to heal from this anger and this sadness that you've carried with you, and now it gets touched on with all of the stuff that's going on in the world?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I've received a lot of help, and I go to virtual AA meetings, you know, online.
Awesome.
And I go to a church in person, and I get I've gotten lots of help for decades. But I guess it's just, you know, also I was listening to someone yesterday, and they said that no matter what, we are still kind of responsible to lead lives that reveal Jesus's character to the world.
Right, mm-hmm.
And that's really hard.
Yeah. It is hard. It's probably the hardest thing that we'll ever do in our lives. And it's the great thing, though, Lucy, is there's always time. God's given us grace, His word. He's given us other people, the power of prayer, to continue to seek in that direction. Let's hear more from Alice, and we'll see where we can go from there.
Lucy, I suspect you need a therapeutic day in court about the war-torn landscape of your family. And so yeah. In addition to all the good work that you have been doing, being able to express anger and sadness at your dad and your siblings, even if you never do it to them directly, but in the presence of others who are willing to hear that, to receive it in their stead, and to be compassionate and understanding of what you went through as a child, that will probably help separate your righteous anger that you have towards atrocities in the world from the personal anger you have towards what you went through. Because when we have feelings in the present that are enormous and maybe get out of our control or sicken us or impact relationship, then it probably means history is overshadowing the present and combining with the present to exacerbate the big feelings that you are having. And so rechecking the level of the pain in those stories will probably serve you. I noticed you laughed a couple of times when you said very painful things. And when we laugh in combination with our pain, it probably means that pain needs some more treatment added to it.
Well, and one suggestion for you here, Lucy, too, is have you ever done any work on maybe some of the unconscious parts of your processing?
I've wanted to find a therapist that does EMDR for years.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to suggest to you, because oftentimes we'll go to therapy and then we'll talk about the things that come to mind that we're consciously aware of. But there's a lot of times that our strings get pulled by what's in our unconscious or our subconscious. And until we do that work, we won't get free of it. So I think maybe we can help you here find somebody who's one of our network counselors who is certified in EMDR.
And that's
we definitely will do that.
Eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, and it's a modality of therapy that helps get below the surface of what we are obviously aware of to other things that are stuck deeper in our memory, deeper in our brain. It helps us to get there.
That's right. And Lucy, we will get you connected with somebody. We've got lots of people in the DC area that can help you with that. And I think I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, because I think that that can also help you. You're already doing 12 steps, and this is working your side of the street. It's really just keeping short accounts, because that's, you know, when all of that starts to snowball, that's where that anger starts. And, you know, expressing ourselves on social media, this is just a PSA, is it feels like a relief, but it actually is, it can be even more destructive in the long term, because it's not in a conversation. It's just kind of spouting off. And I don't know, Alice, you've done all the research on social media and how we react to each other on screens as opposed to in person. And it can actually be defeating as opposed to proactive.
It also keeps our stress hormones high, and it makes it difficult for our bodies to metabolize the distress we feel when we hear difficult news or we go through difficult things in our life. It keeps us stuck in that mode. So it does feel good initially, but we've seen that it keeps depression and anxiety high and can even increase it if it's our main channel of talking and expressing how we feel about things like war.
Yeah, so powerful. Well, we're glad you called, Lucy, and hopefully something that we said will lead you on that path, but we want you to get connected with counselors, and we'll help you with that. We're going to go back to the calls. We're going to keep taking calls for about another hour, 1-800-229-3000. If you are on, just hold on. We'll get to you, but we're going to talk with Gina Maria, who's calling us from Reno, Nevada, listens on the internet. Hello, Gina. How can we help you today?
Hello. So I have a question of that children that see me as their grandma asked me, why does my mom get to yell at her mom, but I can't yell at my mom? The father's response was, because you're children. And I was like, no, it's so disrespectful. Can you please help me answer my grandchild's question?
Okay. So Gina, Marie, what you're saying is that the child is saying, if the mother can yell at their mother, why can't the child yell at their mother? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, you can hear the music. We'll talk about this at the break. And, you know, teaching respect is part of that whole structure. But I love when a child has the audacity, the bravery to ask the question, right? I mean, you know, you want to invite them into these kind of conversations, but it does make you think, you know, what is the right answer? We're grateful, Gina Marie, that you have influence into the lives of other children too. I think that's a really important part of community and connection. We're going to continue to take a break. We're going to come back after the break, and we're going to answer this call. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We were talking to Gina Marie before the break, and she's asking the question of a child who's wondering why they have to do something different than what the adults do. Alice, let's start with you.
Children are experts at sniffing out parental hypocrisy. They're so good at it and at calling us on it. So, Gina Marie, I would suggest that you enter into this conversation mainly with curiosity. So I might ask that child, how does it affect them when they hear their mom yelling at her mom? What do they feel and what do they think about it? And then what would the child want to yell at the mom? What's in there that they need to get out that they're so upset about? And so I would try to process the feelings with them around that. And then talk about how it's unfair that adults do things they tell the children not to do. And it doesn't mean that thing is right for adults to do either. So how is that for them? Do you have any guess at how the grandchild would answer those questions to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Ah. What do you think they would say?
Okay. I want to respect anonymity. So let's say this. The children are being protected by Child Protective Services now after the fallout of everything. Mm-hmm. Because that was the first question to cause a huge blow up. And the children are now in therapy, and I'm to blame for that. Mm-hmm. And I have Adult Protective Services helping me be safe and recover from everything that's gone on since September with my stepdaughter and her children, my ex-stepdaughter, sorry, and her children. It's a very complex thing. And I'm hoping to attend a workshop very soon to heal and not view anger or anything that's not godly, if that makes sense.
It does. And who blames you? Are you kind of the whistleblower, and so the family's upset that they're in this situation, putting it on you as if it's your fault?
So I've been in recovery 17 years, and I facilitate and teach out of the Life Recovery Bible all the things, right? So when I went to my ex-stepdaughter, she said I'm sorry, I'm getting anxious. Mm. Sweet baby Jesus, give me strength. Mm. Okay. My ex-stepdaughter told me that if I blocked my biological family, she would help me save my life. And I was losing everything. So I agreed. I gave her power of attorney, and I relocated from California to Nevada for her to help me. She did help me. And then I was a mirror at the toxicity in the home, and I triggered her mental illness that's untreated, and it became very toxic and abusive, to where now my therapist called to save me because of the abuse that I was going through, and I was frozen. And when I had come to you guys for help, they said that I was acting in learned helplessness, and they sent me Steve's video about not being a victim, being a victor. So and he always says, if I have the right resources, I can make it out. So you guys have truly helped me through this whole journey. I called on a Thursday morning. I believe I spoke with Dennis, and he said that he gave me some numbers. I was able to get to a shelter. I'm now in transitional, and I'm recovering and taking my life back. And so it's very intense. I've got complex PTSD from the age of six that I remember. And I'm, of course, not financially able to pay for counseling with you guys yet. So that is on my books, though, once I return to work. So
Gina, the person who did save you from one situation then became a perpetrator in another situation. And Gina, it just takes enormous courage to be willing to leave and to allow Adult Protective Services, Child Protective Services to come in, because it is so disruptive. And most people are afraid to reveal the abuse that they're experiencing and seeing. And so we're so proud of you that you got out. You helped to get these children into some form of services or protection as well, because there was too much going on in that home. And so back to your original question, you're doing so much of the answer, because it's parental or grandparental humility and ongoing recovery work that best answers that question for those children. They've grown up in chaos, but they're seeing you model, this is how we step away from chaos, this is how we get safe, and this is how we get help.
Right. Mark, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I think Alice is completely on track with the answer to the question about what do you tell these kids, and you know, they're feeling small and powerless when they get told by their dad that they don't have a voice because they're kids. But Gina Marie, I wonder if a lot of this question is really about you too, and you having felt small and powerless for a long time. And I love the work that you've done so far. You have really started to take your life back. You've been powerful. But yeah, as Alice was saying, it's confusing because the person who rescued you is now turning out to be the person who's oppressing you. And I don't, and I, what I would say here, just to kind of reframe a little bit, I don't think that you triggered her mental health. I think that that was already there. And sometimes people who tend to have narcissistic tendencies can seem very nice and the savior up front, but you know, really that's just kind of one half of how they act. And then when somebody tries to get away from them, they start to be oppressive to pull them back in. And so I think this question's a lot about you, but it sounds like you're doing some really good work, and just keep it up. You're working your way out of it, and it's a, and growth is a hard process, and you're doing the hard work, and not everybody does that.
Please keep bringing this sense of being blamed or feeling responsible to even the groups that you're participating in or the church community, because it would be very easy to believe that it's your fault that this came about the way that it did. And I think that's a lie. And so keep bringing that into the light of relationship so that you receive comfort and so that truth takes victory over that lie.
Yeah. You know, I love that idea too, Alice, because in our recovery, we are feeling what we couldn't feel for a long time. And so now what you're saying, Gina Marie, is you're so sad that this has all taken place, but you did the right thing. And we say this all the time. Sometimes when you make a boundary and do the right thing, it still has really difficult responses or results. And it's not because you did the wrong thing. And I just think that that's part of that process of healing. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, since that was the theme of that response. But also, we'll get you connected with our Emotional Freedom Online intensive that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And we've got some scholarship money available, and we'll see what we can do. Our ministry service representatives, you named Dennis, and they're so helpful at helping people find the help that they need. You know, we enter into those conversations with grace and mercy because we know that you've got a lot. It took a lot for you to call us, and we want to help you along that path of recovery and of healing. And Gina Marie, we're going to be praying for you as you continue to take steps forward into your healing journey, as well as the family that you mentioned as well. You know, we hear these stories all the time. We're not without hope, right? We know that God's working even in ways that we can't see and through people. Alice, what would you say to encourage our listeners in, you know, these days?
Well, folks, do the preventative work now to be able to ameliorate or decrease that coming crisis, because crisis comes for all of us. But if we get emotionally strong, if we clean up our side of the street, we will be better able to manage it when we have to face that next crisis.
That's great.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.